The Diary of a Nobody, written by George and Weedon Grossmith, and narrated by Michael Ward. Chapter 1. We settled down in our new home, and I resolved to keep a diary. Tradesmen trouble us a bit, so does the scraper. The curate calls and pays me a great compliment. My dear wife Carrie and I have just been a week in our new house, The Laurels, Brickfield Terrace, Holloway, a nice six-roomed residence, not counting basement, with a front breakfast parlour. We have a little front garden, and there is a flight of 10 steps up to the front door, which, by the by, we keep locked with the chain up. Cummings, Going, and our other intimate friends always come to the little side entrance, which saves the servant the trouble of going up to the front door, thereby taking her from her work. We have a nice little back garden which runs down to the railway. We were rather afraid of the noise of the trains at first, but the landlord said we should not notice them after a bit, and took £2 off the rent. He was certainly right, and beyond the cracking of the garden wall at the bottom, we have suffered no inconvenience. After my work in the city, I like to be at home. What's the good of a home if you are never in it? Home, sweet home, that's my motto. I am always in of an evening. Our old friend Going may drop in without ceremony. So may Cummings, who lives opposite. My dear wife Caroline and I are pleased to see them, if they like to drop in on us, but Carrie and I can manage to pass our evenings together without friends. There is always something to be done. A tin tack here, a Venetian blind to put straight, a fan to nail up, or part of a carpet to nail down, all of which I can do with my pipe in my mouth. While Carrie is not above putting a button on a shirt, mending a pillowcase, or practising the Sylvia Gavotte on our new cottage piano, on the 3-year system. Manufactured by W. Bilkson, in small letters, from Collard and Collard, in very large letters. It is also a great comfort to us to know that our boy Willie is getting on so well in the bank at Oldham. We should like to see more of him. Now, for my diary. April 3rd. Tradesmen called for custom, and I promised Farmerson, the ironmonger, to give him a turn if I wanted any nails or tools. By the by, that reminds me, there is no key to our bedroom door, and the bells must be seen to. The parlour bell is broken, and the front door rings up in the servants' bedroom, which is ridiculous. Dear friend Going dropped in, but wouldn't stay, saying there was an infernal smell of paint. April 4th. Tradesmen still calling. Carrie being out, I arranged a deal with Horwin, who seemed a civil butcher with a nice clean shop. Ordered a shoulder of mutton for tomorrow, to give him a trial. Carrie arranged with Borsett, the butterman, and ordered a pound of fresh butter and 1.5 pounds of salt ditto for kitchen, and 1 shilling's worth of eggs. In the evening, Cummings unexpectedly dropped in to show me a meerschaum pipe he had won in a raffle in the city, and told me to handle it carefully as it would spoil the colouring if the hand was moist. He said he wouldn't stay, as he didn't care much for the smell of the paint, and fell over the scraper as he went out. Must get the scraper removed, or else I shall get into a scrape. I don't often make jokes. April 5th. 2 shoulders of mutton arrived, Carrie having arranged with another butcher without consulting me. Going called, and fell over scraper coming in. Must get that scraper removed. April 6th. Eggs for breakfast, simply shocking. Sent them back to Borsett with my compliments, and he needn't call any more for orders. Couldn't find umbrella, and though it was pouring with rain, had to go without it. Sarah said Mr. Going must have took it by mistake last night, as there was a stick in the hall that didn't belong to nobody. In the evening, hearing someone talking in a loud voice to the servant in the downstairs hall, I went out to see who it was, and was surprised to find it was Borsett, the butterman, who was both drunk and offensive. Borsett, on seeing me, said he would be hanged if he would ever serve city clerks any more. The game wasn't worth the candle. I restrained my feelings and quietly remarked that I thought it was possible for a city clerk to be a gentleman. He replied he was very glad to hear it, and wanted to know whether I had ever come across one, but he hadn't. He left the house, slamming the door after him, which nearly broke the fanlight, and I heard him
Sample complete. Ready to continue?